It's summer in Australia. You may be watching us from the Northern Hemisphere, but it's summer here. Many of us have been on holidays. Who's been on holiday? Anybody been on holiday so far? Fantastic. Yeah. Great. Well, I've just been on holiday. My mum very generously flew us up from Australia to Sri Lanka. She worked out, she's in England, she worked out Sri Lanka is halfway between Australia and England. So she flew up all the Aussie Baxters to Sri Lanka and all the cousins from England, and we had a fantastic time in Sri Lanka. Anybody from Sri Lanka here? Yeah, there's a few. I work with a few Sri Lankan staff. They're wonderful people, and it's a glorious country. And for me, though, the highlight of our little trip was going diving with my son, Zach. We'd been preparing all year in the cold waters. Not all year, but we'd been on a course in August last year in Victoria. And it's very cold. We'd been learning how to dive underneath Flinders Pier, about 6 meters in 6 meters of water. We'd been preparing for our big Sri Lankan diving trip. And sure enough, we got there, and they didn't really check our certification. They said, oh, great, guys, we're going out on an open water dive. We're going about 5-6 k's offshore, and we're going to dump you in the sea, and you're going to have to go down 20 meters. I thought, great, fantastic. Hey, OK Health and Safety, not a problem. And they said, oh, by the way, there's a rip tide coming through at the moment. There's really strong tide. And they said, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get out of the boat and make your way around to the anchor line, to the anchor chain. You're going to have to grip hold of the rope to go down. So we jumped in, and it was really strong. Could only just about, creeping along the side of the boat, get to the front of the boat and grab hold of this anchor line. They said, oh, yep, you're going to have to hold on to the anchor line and go down. So we went down, and it was quite frightening. And at one point, I let go just momentarily from the anchor. And sure enough, I got swept away. I was really trying to get back on to grab hold on the anchor line. And you had that sense of the void of the deep, dark sea, and you couldn't really see the bottom, and the boat was up above us, and it was a little bit frightening. Gripped hold of the chain, and eventually, at about 10 meters, it started to get all calm again. It was lovely, and got down the bottom. My son, sure enough, he'd beaten Dad down to the bottom, and he was down on the bottom, and we had a glorious dive for about 35 minutes with the beautiful fish, and it was lovely. And we checked our tanks, running out of oxygen. Well, we better get back on the chain to go back up. And sure enough, about 10 meters, the current kicked in. It was really strong, getting back up. And you know what? God spoke to me as I was clinging on to that chain. He spoke to me. He said, Toby, you're going to need me like you need this chain in 2017. All you need to do is to hold on, but I'm going to be your rock. I'm going to be your anchor. I'm going to be your anchor chain in 2017. And you may be facing, he said to me, Toby, you might be facing some currents and tides in 2017, but you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine as long as you hold on to this anchor chain. And I just thought that might be a word for you today as well, church. You know, maybe even as we're still just in January, you may be facing some currents and tides, some rips. It's okay. Can I reassure you? It's okay, providing you hold on to the anchor chain. You hold on to Jesus, who is our rock, our anchor. Hold on to him. All you need to do is reach out and touch him. Hold on to him, and he's going to be there for you. Now, we are in this series, Godlike. I would been preparing for this before Christmas. I was preparing for this, and I said to God, look, I don't get many opportunities to preach at Crossway, but I don't want to just be a sort of one message guy. I preach normally on justice and compassion, those sorts of things. Can you please give me something different to preach on today? 15th of Jan, please give me something. Maybe your holiness, really good one. Maybe faithfulness. I thought faithfulness sounds good. That's a good characteristic of you, God. Let me preach on that. He said, no, Toby. I want you to preach on my mercifulness. That is my character, my God-like character. Mercifulness. So I'm going to be preaching on mercifulness today. And I'm going to ask the question to you, who needs mercy, God's mercy today? Is anybody with me on that? Do you, anybody? Yeah? Yeah, fantastic. Well, I need God's mercy. And when I was growing up, I didn't even know that I needed God's mercy. My parents grew me up as good Christians, but in my teenage years, some of you know my story, teenage years, I moved away completely from God and I became an atheist. I was committed to atheism and having a good life. I thought a party life. And on my gap year, 19, my parents very generously paid for me to go to Australia, and they linked me up with this guy, this friend of a friend, and he said, oh, Toby, yeah, come and join me. We're moving to Vermont, from Maryland to Vermont. Come and join us. We're going to have a party. The reason we're going to Vermont is because the drinking age is only 19. Great reason to move states. And so I joined him. In Vermont, because the drinking age was 19, so it happens to be very beautiful in fall, in autumn as well. But the main reason I went there was to party, to drink. And I arrived, he said, Toby, I've got a suitcase of marijuana. And sure enough, over that autumn, we started smoking that marijuana. We had some friends, and we started smoking marijuana. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Marijuana is not a good thing. Don't be fooled by the world. Marijuana messes with your mind. 1 in 6 people who use marijuana on a regular basis end up with mental health issues. It is a serious drug. In some ways, it should be. In fact, in the UK, they've reclassified it as a harder drug, especially if it's grown under lamps. It's a serious drug. I was smoking it. I even tried harder drugs. I was invited out by these friends into the parking lot to do coke. I didn't really know much about coke. I knew it wasn't, though, the brown fizzy stuff. And I got invited out. Unfortunately, I sneezed most of it out, which wasn't very popular with my friends, because that was about $200 worth, dude. And and I wasn't invited out into the parking lot again. But that was a good thing for me. I think you'd agree. Anyhow, at that point, I just wasn't aware of the sin. I just wasn't aware that I'd fallen short of the glory of God, of what he expected of me. I was on this sort of party lifestyle, enjoying the States. But a few years later, I became aware that I'd fallen short of what God required of me. I'd made mistakes. I'd sinned, and I'd messed up. I'd hurt my parents. I'd hurt other people, and I messed up. But God is so rich in mercy. He is so rich in mercy. And I'm going to read this verse. I've got 5 points about God's mercy. And the first one, it is really important point. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Even though we were dead because of our sins. I was dead because of my sins. But I realized when I was 23 that I stuffed. I've done all these drugs, done other things. And I found myself on my knees. I found myself on my knees praying a prayer that roughly went like this. Sorry, God, I know I've stuffed up. I need your mercy. I need your love in my life. I'm lost. I'm washed up. Please come into my life. And he filled me at that point with his Holy Spirit. As I said sorry to him, I asked for his forgiveness. I didn't probably use the word mercy, but I asked for his love and his mercy to come into my life. And sure enough, he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I felt these little champagne bubbles bubble up. And I probably wouldn't have been able to articulate it at the time, but I believe I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 23. And boy, oh boy, it's been good. Yes, it is about eternal life, but God has given me a rich life, since then. And I'd encourage you, if maybe it's your first time in church, maybe you're coming back to Jesus, and you're just thinking, oh, where's God? The good news is that he's there for you. He was there for me, and he is so rich in love, so rich in mercy, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Isn't that good news, church? Isn't that good news? Yeah, you're with me. It's good news. Because he is so rich in mercy, he is so loving, even when we're far from him, even when we've lost our way, even when we've turned our back on what is good, and God is good, even if we've rebelled against our parents, moved away from that, God hangs on to us. And all we have to do, he is that chain, that anchor. All we need to do is grasp hold of him again. Come back to him. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Let me assure you from my personal story and from the Bible that he is so rich in mercy, and he's loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And that's a very good thing. And that's my point one of God's like character. He is so rich in mercy. I've got 5 points I want to make about God's mercy today. Stay with me. I've got 5 key scriptures. That's the first one. If you've got your iPad, if you've got your phone, or maybe some of you still have a notebook, write these down. Make a note of these. These are good scriptures that I want to share with you today. So, what can we do if we need God's mercy? All we need to do, Psalm 6, verse 9, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. How about church, we read that together? You with me? The Lord has mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Let's do that again, because I stuffed up. Let's do that again. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Hey, we got there. Fantastic. Fantastic. So, he is there for us. He hears. If we cry out to him, I cried out to him, and you can cry out to him today. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's something over Christmas. You've hurt somebody. You've done something wrong. Maybe there's a sister who's a bit troublesome, or a brother, or a father, and you've hurt them. You can cry out for mercy and for forgiveness, and God accepts your prayer. Maybe you've stuffed up in a small way. Maybe you've stuffed up and you've been rebelling all your life. All you need to do is cry out, and the Lord will accept your prayer. That's my second point. When we cry out to him, he's a merciful God. He forgives us, and we know that he'll accept our prayers. So, Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. How about we do this together? For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. So what does God require of us? He desires mercy. He desires mercy more than he desires worship. Let me unpack that a little bit. The Israelites brought their worship in a form of burnt sacrifice of animals. They brought them to the temple, to the altar, and they burnt them as an act of sacrifice, of praise and worship to God, the Father, Yahweh. We don't do that anymore, but we still come here and sing. We still offer a sacrifice of praise with our wonderful worship band, and that's a very good thing. Don't get me wrong, that's a very good thing. I love to worship. Who loves to worship here? Yeah? I love to worship. Don't get me wrong. It's a really great thing to worship God all the time. On Sundays, through the week, praise, singing, and worship. Fantastic. But more important than that, and more important to the Israelites, and more important to us now, for God, is our mercy. Yeah? It's a key theme through the Bible. I haven't got time to unpack Isaiah, but you could look at Isaiah 1. You could look at Micah, Amos, he really socks it to the Israelites because they had forgotten mercy and they had forgotten justice, and it had gone down their agenda as a nation. And they continued to sacrifice. And he actually says that he was turning away from their sacrifices of worship, and because he desires mercy, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. That's more important to him. Mercy and acknowledgement of God is more important to him than even our worship. And our praise. And of course, Jesus in Matthew 9 quotes this verse, quotes Isaiah 6:6 in Matthew 9. As Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's home, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." And so Jesus is saying to us exactly what Hosea was, the prophet, was saying to the Israelites. Go and learn how to do mercy. Go and learn how to do mercy. Well, how did you learn how to do mercy? Well, it is a little bit challenging. Mercy can be a bit inconvenient. Compassion can be a little inconvenient. It's good to have a role model. I look to my wife, my dear wife, Laura. She's a merciful person. A couple of years ago, she said, "Toby, how about we get back into fostering?" I said, "Fantastic. I'm happy for a foster child." And she brought two. What happened there? Often we have what I call Laura's waifs and strays coming to eat with us, stay with us, and some stay for a couple of nights, some stay for 6 months, because she is full of mercy. And I learned from her. A couple of months ago, our foster kids were over, and I knew there was a very important rugby game on. And I do enjoy my rugby union. Sorry, I'm Aussie rules people, but I'm a bit of a rugby union fan. And our foster kids were playing outside, and I was trying to slip away to go and watch the rugby. Kickoff was at 2:30, and I wanted to go and watch, but Laura gently said, "Darling, Katie, not a real name, wants to play with you." So I was a little bit challenged by that. She is further on the journey. And a good way to learn about being merciful is to have somebody who's further on the journey than you are. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I'm trying to learn how to be merciful. I'm trying to learn from her and from others who are a bit further down the road. Make poverty personal. That's what Laura does. She makes poverty personal. Make poverty personal. It's great. Crossway is a great church. And it's fantastic as a church that we've put Mercy Ministries right up there on the agenda. It's great. And Life Care is thriving. Coach is thriving. And that's a fantastic thing. That's a great thing. And you have been very generous. Church, you've been very generous to Life Care. And that's a fantastic thing. But what can I encourage you to make poverty personal? Because for each of us, actually, God desires our mercy over our worship. That's a little bit of a challenge right there. That's my point three about mercy. Godlike character. If we want to be godlike, we've got to actually put mercy over our worship, over our singing, over our sacrifices of praise. And that's a little bit of a challenge. Now, when it comes to mercy, there are so many verses that we could choose from, well over 200. But this is one of my favorites. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. Who is good? God is good. God is merciful. He's shown us his mercy. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. How about we see this verse together, because it's a really important one. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Fantastic. Great summary of what it is to be a Christian right there, isn't it? Great summary. To act justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. If we get that right, we're doing very well. We're doing very well. Well, why on earth do we have to be just in Australian society? Roger was talking to us about perhaps being, you know, he had that prophetic word about being, thinking about our neighborhood, about Australia, maybe rather than overseas for this time being. Well, why do we need to be just in Australia? Why do we need to show mercy? Maybe those scriptures, this was, Micah was around a long time ago, a long time before Jesus even. You know, is it still relevant to us? Why do we need to be just in Australian society? Why do we need to think about these verses? Well, for me, God's spoken to me quite clearly, and many of us, about abuse. It's a sad fact that in 2015, 152,000 children required the intervention of child protection services in Australia. That is not acceptable. That's not right. That is not acceptable. That's injustice right there. There's been a 6% year-on-year growth in the needs of child protection. Child protection, they're overwhelmed. They're swamped. In some states, they're just completely, South Australia, completely swamped. 6% rise. And what do we mean by child abuse? Child abuse is when an adult, a carer or guardian, uses their power as an adult to abuse a child. That's not right. That's not acceptable. That's injustice right there. And we need to do something about that. Church, would you agree with me? We need to do something about that. It's injustice. It's not right. It's not right. And you've heard me speak about this before. One in four, or some would argue, one in three women have been abused physically or sexually by their current or former partner since the age of 15. That's not right. That's not acceptable. But we, church, I'm proud of Crossway. What we're doing, we're stepping in and we're making a difference in not just Burwood East, not just in this neighborhood, but across Australia. And one of the ways we're doing this is through COACH. COACH stands for Creating Opportunities and Casting Hope. And we are bringing hope, Crossway, catalyzing COACH mentors right across this nation now. We're in 56 communities. We've got 44 licensed churches who are running COACH in 56 communities across this nation. Well over 700 mentors. Making a difference, preventing some of the problems, preventing abuse, strengthening families. And that's a very, very good thing, because that's a great example. And I can see some of you here, some of you mentors, you've done a very good job. Thank you. Thank you for giving up your time. A mentor, by the way, gives up 1 or 2 hours a week. Is that doable? I think that's doable. Some of us are busy. I can see you here. Some busy business guys here who give up 1 or 2 hours a week and make a difference with a young person. That's doable. We've made it, designed it to be doable. 1 or 2 hours a week to act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. If you want to be godlike, become a mentor. Join in with COACH 1 or 2 hours a week, offering support to a young person or family and mentoring them towards life goals. We've got some fantastic coordinators, Lal and Sonali. They're from Sri Lanka, by the way. Lovely place, lovely people. And you can learn from them. They're a bit further along the journey than some of us in terms of mercy, and they've got a huge amount of wisdom, huge amount of skills, and they're there to support you, and they're great support. And it starts with us, Crossway, being merciful in ordinary ways, like Roger was encouraging us, just with our neighbors, 1 or 2 hours a week to be a mentor, to be a local missionary. This is not going overseas. This is going to Burwood East. This is going to your community But we're right across this nation. We're we just start up in WA at the end of this month. We're going to train 3 churches over in WA, and that's a very good thing. But what is happening? God has surprised us with this ministry because it started with love, started with mercy. But what's happening is people are coming to Jesus. Surprise, surprise. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But as we've shown mercy, people are going, let's join in together with this thing. What are you doing? And so, for example, in Rosebud, in a tough community in Rosebud, where they've got almost 40% of people were past tense, dependent on Centrelink and problems with violence in that community. What has happened is this coach missional community has started up 4 or 5 years ago. And it's not being led by the coach coordinators. It's not even being led by the mentors. It's being led by the graduates of Coach. They've come because of mercy. They've learned how to do it. They've come and they're joining in. They're caring for each other. They've come to know Jesus. There's been multiple baptisms and they're caring for each other. And there is hope even in Australia, even in this secular state of revival. Of revival. Just bear with me. What do I mean by revival? You know, we talk about revival. What we see, if 60, 70 unchurched, go and visit it, don't take my word for this, go and visit this community. They're meeting together, they're leading each other in worship, they're writing their own poetry, I can show you the poetry, they're writing their own worship songs, a very healthy sign of a thriving, flourishing community, and they're going to their neighbors, they're saying, come along. Come to our community. This is not something run by the church, but this is something run by them, if that makes sense. They have become, and they've graduated, and they're white, Aussie, working class families caring for each other. Every week they ask each other, what are people's needs here, physical needs? Maybe there's a mum, single mum, who hasn't got a mower. Oh, I've got a mower. I can come down. Oh, well, let's go and do a backyard blitz. They pray about it. They get out and do it. That is transformation on a practical level, but they care for each other emotionally. They do their hospital visits. They care for each other, not dependent on the church as much at all, not dependent on the system, but depending interdependence on each other, showing interdependence on each other. And that's an element of transformation. And every week, the gospel is shared. There's a devotion, there's worship, there's communion every week. And it's a solid place to go and visit. I'd encourage you to go and visit. And it's a great place. God is saying, let's act justly. Let's love mercy. A great place to start. 1 or 2 hours a week is to start with Coach. So, last verse. Let's say this one together. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Yeah, everybody getting this? Quite a simple message for us this morning. God is merciful. He's so rich in mercy. Let us be merciful. Let's go out in strength. Let's move from the back foot. The church in Australia is on the back foot, but we can move on to the front foot, Lord. We can, guys. Because we are following a God that is so merciful. And if we join in with him, he will help us to be merciful to others. And we can do this. God has put a prophetic vision on my heart, and some of us have seen this as well, of a map of Australia where there is holy fire going through this nation in each town, in each city, and where more and more people are coming to know Jesus, more and more people are receiving his mercy. How about you join in with that? How about you join in with that in 2017? A simple way you can do that is become a coach mentor. You can do that with your neighbor. You can show them mercy. You can do that with your family. Maybe they need a bit of your mercy. Maybe there's a husband out there who needs a bit of mercy, or a wife who needs a bit of your mercy, or a neighbor who needs a bit of your mercy, or a sister. How about you show them a bit of God's mercy? So just as we come to the end of this service, there may be 1 or 2 of us here or more, or watching online, who don't know God's mercy. And what I'd like us to do now is bow our heads. So how about, church, we bow our heads? Because if you're here for the first time, or if you don't know Jesus, or if you need him in your life, how about we bow our heads? And what I would like to do, if you are just not sure of where you are with Jesus Christ, now is the time to respond. Now is the time to pray. And I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray a little prayer of mercy for you. I needed God's mercy when I was in all sorts of bother with those drugs. I needed God's mercy. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need a bit of God's mercy. You've lived a troubled life, and you this now is time to turn back to him. Now is the time. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. So let me pray. Let me pray with you. Follow this prayer in your mind. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're a merciful God. Thank you that you sent your son to die for me. I'm just becoming aware that I've stuffed up. I've rebelled against you. I've maybe moved away from the faith of my parents, or I just don't know anything about you. But right now, I do need your mercy. And I know from Toby's story and from the Bible, I know that you're there for me. So please come into my life. Please come into my life now, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, and I need you. Amen. Amen. So let's just keep our eyes down and bow. But if you prayed that prayer, or if you want to pray that type of prayer with me, I'll be here at the front with the ministry team here. Some good people. We'd love to pray that prayer with you. But if you prayed that prayer with you, how about you look at me right now? How about you look up and stick your hand up? I'd love to connect with you. Please stick your hand up. If you're watching online and you prayed that prayer, we'd love to connect with you. Please raise your hand. We had people in the first service raising their hands. If anybody's here who's prayed that prayer, now is the time. Take this opportunity. Now is the time to respond. We'd love to connect with you. We'd love to connect with you. If you're watching online, please just send us a message. We would love to connect with you through the internet. And we have people waiting to do that. So as the band comes up, let's just continue to worship God, to come to his altar right now.
Would you stand?